This is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. And this is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, December 12th, 2019. Ahead this afternoon, how a canine friend can help when it comes to holiday travel. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda introduces us to runway rovers, dogs that can help ease anxiety at XNA. After our show on NPR's Here and Now, the House Judiciary Committee is working on two articles of impeachment against President Trump. The president is using it as a rallying cry. The latest on impeachment and the rest of the news on Here and Now from 1 to 3 this afternoon on 91.3 KUAF. The city of Springdale will host a public hearing regarding the proposed alignment of a bond project, the Dixieland Road extension from Apple Blossom Avenue to Wagon Wheel Road, from 5 to 7 tonight at Springdale City Hall. The public's invited to attend. Also tonight at 5:30, the Fayetteville Public Library will host the latest Museum in the Library event, this one dedicated to birds found in Arkansas. Patrons can see a collection of bird specimens from the University of Arkansas Museum's zoology collections. The event free and open to the public. And when you make a gift during KUAF's Season of Giving fundraiser, you're showing that you believe in nonprofit, non-commercial news that is available to everyone and not beholden to just one funder. Whether you listen online, whether you listen over the air, or listen to a podcast, your support is a direct connection to the greater good of public media. Support this vital resource, not just for you, but for everyone in our community, by giving during KUAF's Season of Giving fundraiser. This is Ozarks at Large. Eureka Springs Hospital, one of the oldest critical access hospitals in the state, is taking back control of its facilities from outside medical management. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the move includes a new contract with an outside consulting group to navigate the move.
The for-profit Eureka Springs Hospital is owned by the City of Eureka Springs, with operations oversight by the Eureka Springs Hospital Commission. In operation since 1929, the 12-bed critical access facility is one of the oldest like it in Arkansas. The hospital for a time was managed by Washington Regional Medical Center in Fayetteville, then starting in 2007 by Allegiance Health Management. Based in Shreveport, Louisiana, Allegiance owns four hospitals and manages a number of small rural facilities across the southeastern U.S. Dr. John House, a physician at Eureka Springs Family Clinic, chairs the Eureka Springs Hospital Commission.
So there have been concerns about Allegiance for several years with respect to the manner in which they were running the hospital. And one of the concerns was that the building itself was not being maintained well. And so the commission took it upon themselves to initiate a building program in conjunction with Allegiance, with the idea that the lease would be amended so that Allegiance would increase the amount of money they're paying, so that basically they're paying for the new construction.
Plans to build a new hospital on the outskirts of Eureka were scrapped several years ago, with the commission opting instead to renovate and expand the historic hospital under the Allegiance lease. But those negotiations fell apart after Allegiance was cited for overbilling for Medicare services, House says.
And so that's what happened with Allegiance. They were fined or taken back, however you want to call it, $1.7 million. And so at that time, the service at the hospital began to degrade fairly rapidly. They started having difficulty paying their bills. Employees, particularly contract employees, were not being paid. A variety of different things began to happen. And some of them were very, very concerning, not just to the staff, but also to the community at large.
According to online federal documents, the U.S. Department of Justice reached a settlement agreement with Allegiance last year, which paid an additional $1.7 million to resolve federal False Claims Act allegations for Medicare psych services. Eureka Springs Hospital has served city and county residents for more than 90 years. as well as tourists who visit the region who rely on the facility's emergency services. The hospital is also the largest employer in Eureka Springs, with 7 physicians, including an in-house urologist and dermatologist, skilled nursing and administrative staff, as well as outpatient rehab and psych services.
Eureka Springs Hospital is a critical access hospital, which means that we have an ER and we have acute care of no more than 3 days. We also have a swing bed program, which is a transitional care from acute care to home. The hospital currently provides physical therapy, imaging services, lab services, as well as some minor surgical procedures.
After declaring Allegiance Health Management in breach of contract and giving the firm 60 days to address problems, House says the hospital commission decided to take back operations of the hospital, placing out bids for a consultant to temporarily assist with transition and ongoing operations.
The company that ended up getting our attention and ultimately helping us out is a company called Alliance Management Group. It's interesting, the name is so similar, but and they're out of Tulsa. And what they proposed to us was that they would be happy to help us in this transition process. And they would hope that we would want to continue with them. We have not made that decision yet. But at this point, they're helping us to make sure that as Allegiance is leaving, that we're not left with a hospital that can't operate because we don't have all the necessary things in place to do that.
According to local newspaper reports, when the new consultant, Alliance Management Group, was scoping the hospital for the new contract, it found, quote, low occupancy rates, high operating expenses, low Medicare utilization, high accounts receivable, and slow collection rates, as well as outdated facilities and equipment. So a turnaround plan is in play, House says.
Yes. Yeah, that's the idea, is that they want to help us to be in a position so that the hospital can become a thriving healthcare facility again.
Dr. John House, who settled in Eureka several years ago, says the hospital is a cherished institution, and he's dedicated to preserving and improving it.
Ever since I moved to Eureka, I've just loved this little town, and we have so much to offer, and part of that is good healthcare.
The Eureka Springs Hospital Commission, House says, plans to host an open house early next year to educate the community on the status of Eureka Springs Hospital. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Flying during the busy holiday season can be stressful. Long security lines, winter weather causing delayed flights. But what if there was a way to reduce that anxiety? Say with something as simple as petting a dog while you're waiting to board. Northwest Arkansas National Airport is offering travelers the opportunity to do just that through its Runway Rovers Therapy Dog Program. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda visited XNA earlier this week to learn more, and she brings us this report.
Hi, this is Dwayne. Yes, that's what he's here for, to be petted.
Oh, what a sweet dog.
Faye Pyatt is walking her yellow lab, Dwayne, through XNA. He's wearing a collar decorated with little airplanes, as well as his blue Runway Rovers vest. It has a patch that says Pet Me, and several people oblige.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, you're welcome. See, I mean, who wouldn't want this job?
Runway Rovers launched in August 2017, and Jasmine Bailey, who oversees the program, says it was the first such program in the state. Today, it's grown to include 22 humans, 15 dogs, and one miniature horse.
Roberto Circo was one of the first people who started it and came over. We are partnered with 4 different companies, Alliance of Therapy Dogs, Love on a Leash, Pet Partners, and Therapy Dogs International. So they have to be fully certified with them, and then we take them on here. And basically, our goal is just to help alleviate passenger stress, and when we have special events and stuff, we help have them come in and just give some little fluffy support.
The yellow lab named Dwayne is 10 and a half years old, and his owner, Faye Pyatt, says he's been doing therapy work for 9.5 years. When Faye first learned of the program, she was quite interested in participating.
Well, it sounded exciting. Bobby Sucre came to our Helping Paws Therapy Club and told us they wanted to start this, how many of us were interested, and a lot of us were. So it sounded like a welcome break. Dwayne's always done library work with children at the library and assisted living in nursing homes, and this just sounded like a different change of pace, and it's been wonderful.
Dwayne has spent most of his life providing therapy to others.
I got him when he was 18 months old. He was a really service dog, but I've known him since he was 9 weeks old, because the people the puppy raised him were friends of ours. And when Dwayne was released from the service program due to anxiety and isolation in the kennel, I was able to adopt him and thought with all that training, he should be a therapy dog, not just my walking buddy.
The difference between a service dog and a therapy dog, Faye says, is a service dog takes care of one person, while a therapy dog's job is to make a lot of people happy. She says lots of training goes into earning certification as a therapy dog, including basic obedience commands.
And then they do things like throw pans on hard floors to make a lot of noise, see if the dogs, they can react, but they better not get scared. Then they dress people up, it's usually younger people, in wheelchairs and walkers and all this, and have them moaning and groaning to see if they'd be scared to go to nursing homes. And the final, most important one is the one when they have a lot of children come in, riding trike scooters, et cetera, making a lot of noise to see if the dogs are afraid of children. And that one especially, if they don't pass it with flying colors, they're not allowed to be accredited. Or if they bark too much.
Dwayne earned his certification through Therapy Dogs International and spends his time with children at the Bella Vista Public Library in addition to his time at the airport. Faye says the dog's working time should be limited to 90 minutes. Because Runway Rovers is a volunteer program, handlers bring their furry friends to X&A whenever works with their schedule. For Faye and Dwayne, that typically means Thursday afternoon. As we stroll through the concourse, Faye keeps an eye out for travelers who look intrigued by her companion.
Sometimes I go up through the aisle, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just kind of scan them out and see who's looking interested. But anyway, okay, let's go down this way, Dwayne.
Dwayne makes plenty of new friends, and as we meander through the airport, he has his regular visitors too, like a waiter named Aaron, who Faye says always has to come pet Dwayne.
How's my friends?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? We were out of town for a while. Dwayne's swimming in the ocean.
Oh, do you have fun?
As we reach the end of the concourse, we find that it's mostly empty, so Faye uses this as an opportunity for Dwayne to show off his tricks. He sits, stays, runs between her legs in a game of peekaboo, and even has a few words for me in exchange for treats out of a plastic bag.
Speak? That's his library voice. He could do a big outdoor bark, but he doesn't like to. So the kids all call that his library voice, because you're supposed to be quiet in a library. Okay, should we go back?
On our journey back to the administration office, we run into another Runway Rover, a 7-year-old golden retriever named Bentley.
He spreads joy and hair.
That's Bentley's handler, Charlie Rapp. He says his late wife, Norma, got Bentley involved in the program, and he has continued her work. While he waits for his son's plane to arrive, he discusses their busy schedule.
We were at Mercy Pediatrics this morning.
Oh, you work a lot of work at this, a lot of hours at this.
Yeah, Sunday school yesterday, pediatrics, and here today.
After the dogs exchange pleasantries and make a few new friends out of passersby, we part ways.
All right, Bentley, let's go see. Spread some more hair.
Through Runway Rovers, Faye Pyatt has seen the positive impact the dogs have on even the most seasoned flyer.
It was a bad, stormy day, and a pilot got off of his plane, and in his dark suit immediately marched up to Dwayne. May I pet him? Yes, sir. But you'll got on a dark, beautiful suit, and he's a yellow dog. I don't care. It'll dry clean. And he got down on the floor and just hugged and hugged and hugged Dwayne. I didn't want to ask, how was that flight?
The experience has been good for Faye, too.
You hear a lot of stories, which is great. I mean, a lot of people are just happy to pet their dog, and then they're immediately pulling out their cell phone to show you their dog. And I've met a lot of people with therapy dogs, so that always makes for good conversation. And then you hear stories, I'm going to my grandfather's funeral, or I'm going to my daughter's wedding in San Francisco or something, you know. You get a whole mix of stories. People sitting and waiting in an airport, like to talk, a lot of them. So it's fun.
Jasmine Bailey, who oversees the Runway Rovers program, says they plan to add two more dogs in the new year and are open to other types of certified therapy animals like birds and pigs. More information about the program is available at flyxna.com/volunteer. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And Dwayne is scheduled for surgery tomorrow, so he'll be away from the airport for a couple of weeks. If you're traveling and want to know if another Runway Rover is on duty, feel free to visit the administration office near the TSA checkpoint and ask an airport employee. You can also ask about the trading cards they have created for each of their volunteer animals. And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Lee Wood, General Manager at KUAF. You come in for so many different reasons. It might be to talk about the Vinyl Hour.
It's true.
There are any number of things. But today we're talking about, because it's the season giving fundraiser,
yes,
how public radio works.
Yes. I love this. We should talk about this because it's not, we don't talk about it that often. We don't talk about ourselves that often.
Right.
Okay. So one of the most common things that I encounter that people don't know about with public radio is that we pay NPR and these other national producers and distributors, we pay them for the rights to air their programs.
All right, so let's take Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
Okay.
That's on every day, every Monday through Friday at 11 and then again at 6. We can only put that show on because we write a check to put that show on.
Yeah, for just over $21,000. That's right. What it costs, just for the rights to air it, okay? And then we do that again for Morning Edition, and then we do it again for All Things Considered and On the Media and This American Life and Radio Lab and all of these programs.
And the prices vary.
The prices vary depending on program, and also sometimes, well, in the case of NPR and other groups, you have a membership fee also. So you're paying basically just to have access to those programs as well.
So a metaphor might be, let's say you join a gym.
Yes.
And it's $7 a month.
Just for the membership.
Just to get in. Then if you want to use the elliptical.
Or take a class. Yes.
There you go. That's a little bit more.
Absolutely.
So NPR is our gym. Fresh Air is our class.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. And so that's kind of the expense side as far as programming is concerned. And then you can imagine all of the other expenses, like this building and the electricity and this microphone and your salary and my salary and all of the things that it takes for just a regular business to run. All right. So that's at the expense side. And the revenue side is the part to me that is very unique, right? Because in some ways you could say this is a product. This
sure.
is our product, right?
Sure.
And Fresh Air is a product and your show's a product. And instead of really selling that product like you would in a commercial sense, in a for-profit world, we ask people, just ask them if they would help us pay for it. And they do. Isn't that crazy?
It is. You know, years ago, when I was doing public address announcing for, and this was back in Barnhill Arena, so it was a long time ago, for a women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during a fundraiser. And one of the other folks who was on the statistical crew overheard me talking to someone about the fundraiser. And they said, wait, now how do you raise money at your station? And I told him, we ask people for money. And he just shook his head and said, well, that's the darndest thing.
I know. I mean, it's a little wild. And that's why I love the fundraisers, because I'm always blown away that our listeners respond. There are definite advantages to doing it this way. It's a broad base of support. We're not beholden to any one funder, be it a foundation or a corporation or a person or whatever. We do get some money from the University of Arkansas, the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences, and we get some money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is through the federal government. And then the rest of that pie chart is local businesses and individual listeners.
And so that $5 a month gift, that one-time gift of $50, they all work together.
Yes.
I mean, we say this during the fundraiser, but that is, in fact, how we do it.
Absolutely. Every single donation matters because they all go into this pool that that helps us then pay these bills, write that check for $21,000 for fresh air. I mean, we just simply couldn't do it without the thousands of gifts that we get every year. Sustaining membership donations, obviously we're getting those every month, and there's a reliability in that that makes it nice when you're looking at the budget and you're trying to grow. But the on-air fundraisers are instrumental because not only do we have really good months as far as revenue is concerned, we're also reaching new people. And again, we're educating people on how this model works.
And this model kind of has a Jekyll and, well, no, I don't want to say Jekyll and Hyde because Mr. Hyde is, it has a Superman Clark Kent sort of component in that we are a business, just like for-profit businesses. And so some of those things that for-profit businesses deal with, paying the light bill and paying salaries and making sure the front walk is taken care of when it's icy, those things we still have to do. The other side is we don't and can't, by law, I think it should be understood that the license that we have, the type of radio license, we can't have commercials.
No.
There are certain certain avenues of revenue that we legally can't do.
Yeah, that are not available to us.
Right. And that's why, that's the other side of it, is that while we are a business, we have to go about it in what is somewhat an unusual way for businesses.
That's true. And then also throw on top of that that we're a radio station.
Well, there you go.
It's a unique thing. It's a unique model. But I think that it resonates with people. I think the product itself is always resonating with people. And I think that there's an understanding now that it's, you know, we're going on 40 years of this kind of existing. People really do understand that there's a responsibility in keeping it going, right? So the listener understands, wait a minute, I listen to this all the time. This is something that I truly love in my life. I want it to keep going. Oh, I'm the one who has to fund it.
During daytime hours during this Season of Giving fundraiser from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., you can call 800-522-5823. And that's during, again, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. during the Season of Giving fundraiser. At any other time of year, around the clock, support KUAF.com.
That's right. Anywhere around the world.
That's right.
You can do it.
All right. Lee, General Manager at KUAF, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kyle.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
This is 91.3 KUAF. Arkansas Senator John Bozeman is honoring Stephen Carr, the Fayetteville police officer killed this weekend. Yesterday, Senator Bozeman paid tribute to him with a 3-minute address on the U.S. Senate floor. Senator Bozeman offered a quick biography of Stephen Carr's life and career and spoke of his service.
We rely on law enforcement officers to keep us safe. Each day they put on their uniform, knowing the risk that come with the public duty to serve and to protect. Officer Carr's death is a reminder of the dangers these first responders face daily and how quickly a situation go from ordinary to deadly, which is why those willing to take on this role deserve both our gratitude and our respect. The outpouring of support from the Fayetteville community has been tremendous strength to the police department as they mourn the loss of a brother in the blue. I pray they will find comfort from this encouragement during this very, very difficult time. My thoughts and prayers go out to Officer Carr's family and friends. I also stand with all Arkansans in expressing our gratitude for Officer Carr's service and commit to honoring the sacrifice that he and others have made to protect us.
The funeral for Stephen Carr was held today. The University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences will use a $4 million award to study digital delivery of healthcare for people with heart failure. The money comes from the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. The project will be headed by Leanne Leffler, an associate professor in the UAMS College of Nursing. Leffler says the research will be based in delivering healthcare when medical professionals can't be available when patients need them. Her research will involve tracking 400 patients with heart failure over 6 months. Patients will be divided into two groups: those who receive standard care, including regular in-person appointments and visiting the emergency room if necessary between, and those who are provided care through digital methods such as real-time health monitoring and appointments over video calls. Both sets of patients will receive in-home equipment to monitor blood pressure, weight, and oxygen in the blood. Oh, and as you may have noticed when we introduced Antoinette Grajeda's story about runway rovers just a few minutes ago, Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport is no more. The airport, following a unanimous vote of approval by the airport's board yesterday, is now Northwest Arkansas National Airport. The FAA code of XNA will remain, however. The United States Marshals Museum is adding four items related to the September 11, 2001 attacks in New York City to its collection. A press release from the Marshals Museum reports the donations come from the U.S. Marshals Service Southern District of New York in honor of the more than 50 U.S. Marshals who responded to those terrorist attacks. The items include an original piece of steel from the World Trade Center. And the University of Arkansas gymnastics team will open the season ranked 19th in the Women's Gymnastic Association poll. This is the 14th consecutive season the program is ranked in the preseason poll. Last year, the team started the season ranked 12th in the country and reached as high as number 10 in the 2019 poll.
Welcome to another edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. It's been a busy week in Northwest Arkansas. The Prime Minister of Kazakhstan was in Springdale, for goodness sakes. We'll tell you why, plus have a rundown of some of the other headlines from the past few days. Plus, Roby Brock visits with Arkansas Children's CEO Marcy Doderer for an update on fundraising and a new phase of addressing children's health in Arkansas. Those stories and more are on the way after the break on this edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at arkansasstatechamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kazakhstan is an emerging nation in Central Asia for beef and livestock production. Tyson Foods wants to capitalize on that. On Monday, government officials from Kazakhstan and the state of Arkansas met with Tyson Foods executives in Springdale. They signed an agreement outlining a plan to build a modern beef processing plant in Kazakhstan with an anticipated harvest capacity of 2,000 head per day. The plan is expected to help the country generate more than $1 billion U.S. dollars. Kazakhstan is the ninth largest country in terms of land area, along with a population of about 19 million people. The nation also shares a border with China. Also this week, a Canadian-based mass timber manufacturer that Walmart has invested in announced it's spending $90 million to open a plant in Conway, the company's first in the United States. StructureLam Mass Timber Corporation will purchase, retrofit, and equip a former steel plant and create 130 new jobs at the Conway facility. The plant is set to open in mid-2021 and will source softwood lumber from Arkansas-grown southern pine trees. Walmart will be the first customer of the facility and plans to use more than 1.1 million cubic feet of Arkansas-grown and produced mass timber in the construction of its new home office campus in Bentonville. That will make it the largest mass timber campus project in the United States. For more on those stories and other headlines, just visit nwabusinessjournal.com. Arkansas Children's is about to open up a new phase of addressing children's health as part of a new five-year plan that will include everything from the past 5 years and more. In a recent interview with Roby Brock, Arkansas Children's CEO Marcy Doderer said that a five-year campaign to improve access has been wildly successful, and it will continue, but she said that larger overall health issues must be improved. Doderer also gave an update on the Campaign for Healthier Tomorrow, a $250 million effort that has been ongoing since 2015, but had a statewide public launch just a few months ago.
In September, we went into the public phase of the campaign. So we're at $200 million of $250 million raised. And we've did a statewide public launch and announced some new gifts that bring us to that $200 million mark. really excited about what it means because it secures our vision of truly a statewide network of care.
Are those the announcements that you've been making? Those are your Jefferson Regional announcements,
yes.
Your Northwest Arkansas Jonesboro dental outreach, all of that?
All of those things. So for the first time, Arkansas Children's will actually plant a flag and build a clinic in Pine Bluff. So we're working in a collaboration with Jefferson Regional, and we'll open a pediatric clinic down there. It'll probably still be about 18 months before we're open. We're working on the legal contracts right now with the county or the city for the land, and hopefully we'll have a shovel in the ground by January or February. So
please invite me to the groundbreaking.
Well, I will.
So you're still 50 million shy of 250 million. Where does this other 50 million come from, and where might we see you making those announcements?
You know, what's exciting about a campaign like this one is it invites every single Arkansan to participate at whatever level they want. So we are certainly really grateful for great big donors that can bring $1 million or $5 million to the table. But when we think about a campaign for a healthier tomorrow, we're really talking about what it's going to take to impact every child in our state, the 700 plus thousand kids. And that brings an invitation then to every family to contribute, big or small, and to contribute to programs that might impact them in one of their own counties. So as we've grown in the last 5 years, we do have clinics in a number of counties. We have home visiting in 73 of our 75 counties. We're adding our fifth dental van, and part of this plan will be to raise money to add a sixth dental van for the northeast quadrant of the state. So I think we anticipate that $50 million will come from folks who are willing to go online to giving at archildrens.org and make a $10 pledge or make a $10 a month pledge. And then there will be some of our bigger and stronger investors, those who have a real interest in finding improvements to child health that we think will land in six and seven digit dollars.
And so I'm looking at my geography of everything that I've laid out and what you've done, and I don't see as much in Southwest Arkansas. What's happening in that direction?
Southwest Arkansas is a little more challenging for bricks and mortar for really two reasons. The first is size. When we look at how many kids live down there, there's only around 18, 19 kids per square mile. So there's not a huge concentration of kids in the southwest quadrant of the state that would support a children's hospital like Northwest Arkansas, for example, or even a subspecialty clinic. We do think we need to leverage more telemedicine in Southwest Arkansas. We actually do that with Asthma Care today in partnership with UAMS and their regional site down there. But the other complicating factor to Southwest Arkansas is really the state line. And many of the kids that we serve are on Medicaid. And Texas Medicaid doesn't like Texas Medicaid beneficiaries to come into Arkansas for care. And there's really kind of a wall at that border, so to speak, a figurative one. So,
is that something that could be worked out through some sort of cooperative agreement or change in public policy?
We regularly try to work with Texas Medicaid on that. And the way their Medicaid program is funded, it's through managed care companies. So it's really negotiating with the individual managed care companies as opposed to the state. It's not insurmountable as an issue, but it does make it harder to come in there. And then Texarkana also has some really great care already being delivered in terms of private practice physicians. There's some tremendous pediatricians down there who do great work for the kids. So we want to think about how we augment their work and don't want to come in and supplant them in any way.
So a couple of years ago, we talked about you were in the midst of a five-year growth plan that is supposed to end at the end of this year. And so a new five-year growth plan in the works. I know this campaign is part of that, but
right.
What else is going into the next 5 years of planning?
I really actually appreciate that question because it's a fun transition time at Arkansas Children's. The last 5 years, we worked on a vision that stated we wanted to fundamentally transform healthcare delivery for kids in Arkansas. What that means is that the delivery system, the clinics, the number of physicians, the hospitals, all the infrastructure that goes into taking care of kids. And we have made great strides in that. We have, I think, increased access points and certainly been able to grow volumes and bring in more providers. We just added 40 new faculty members this summer, for example. But the next 5 years is really a shift for us, not to stop doing anything we're doing in the clinical arena. In fact, we still need to advance our clinical care. But it's really about health, not just healthcare. So our new vision statement that we released as we went live with the campaign is to create a promise for the state of Arkansas. Unprecedented child health defined and delivered.
You're talking about moving metrics now.
Moving metrics on things like the percentage of children with access to primary care, the number of children who die before their first birthday, infant mortality rate, immunization rates, obesity rates. So the five-year plan that we actually are kicking off today, our first planning group is meeting as we speak.
Do you need to be there for that?
It's okay.
Okay.
I've got a great team they're covering, and I'll fly back in and start with the second team at midday. But we are looking at things that will allow us to move a metric on child health over the next 5 years. So it's what I call a both-and strategy. We will both continue to grow and expand and excel at clinical care. And we are going to put initiatives in place that let us move the metrics on child health.
That is Arkansas Children's CEO Marcy Doderer. And you can watch that entire conversation with Roby Brock on our sister website at talkbusiness.net. And that is all the time we have for today. Coming up this weekend, I'll check in with Arkansas Scholarship Lottery Director Bishop Woosley, who will discuss the 10-year anniversary of the lottery in Arkansas. That's next time on the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until then, I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.
Good Thursday. This is Ozarks at Large. When the Fayetteville Farmers Market returns next year, it will shut down the downtown square entirely on Saturdays. Last month, the City Council approved closing Center Street between East and Block Avenues to traffic. Teresa Maurer, the co-manager of the Farmers Market, says the last time the market saw an expansion was in 2013.
I think the city folks who brought it up felt like it was a good idea for safety reasons, because people are kind of crossing there from one side to the other of Center. And also, if you've been to the market, what you see is big, wide walkways on three sides of the square, and walkers and people who move slowly have a chance to move freely on those streets. And then suddenly it's all constricted down onto Center Street. So that was one of the things that I think the city and we were trying to address.
Maurer says although they're going to have more room with the total closing of Center Street, the farmers market will not be adding any new vendors. But it will allow the vendors who are already there to spread out a bit more.
We have had vendors that have had to squeeze into really small spaces and barely have enough room for the things that they want to display. So we're not going to increase the total number of vendor spaces, but we are going to increase the size, and we're going to distribute them in a way that will be better, again, for, I think, the public and for our vendors as well.
Before the farmers market returns to the square in April, Teresa Maurer says they will be hosting a winter indoor farmers market every Saturday, starting this weekend at the Evelyn Hills Shopping Center in a space next door to the Dollar Tree.
We'll be offering produce that's available during the winter. And of course, our meat folks have product all year long. Our cheese folks do. We have processed food products that'll be available. And, you know, our winter, you know, we're not going to look like middle of the summer on the square. But we will have, I think through December, we'll probably have 35 to 40 folks because more of our craft people come. And then from January to March, probably about 25 regulars.
The farmers market will be up and running from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Teresa Maurer says continuing the market indoors through March means people have access to local goods during the winter months, and the vendors have an outlet for their products during a slow time of the year.
As my people with chickens say, well, the animals still eat. I mean, I'm still feeding them during the winter, and, you know, I need to find a way to have some income in order to buy feed for it. That's a real simplified way. But then again, you know, our meat products are frozen and keep well. Our cheese producers work year-round. So we have kind of a base of year-round products.
You can find more information about the winter farmers market at FayettevilleFarmersMarket.org.
The Giving Tree, a KUAF tradition, is benefiting Antioch for Youth and Family in Fort Smith this holiday season. For 20 years, they've been helping to feed the River Valley through their food distribution center. Here's founder of Antioch, Charlotte Tidwell.
The need was there, but we've grown to understand how complicated the issues of hunger become.
There's stigma with this a lot, isn't there?
Exactly. A tremendous amount of stigma toward poverty in general. And our area in Fort Smith formerly was a manufacturing hub. And with the decrease of all the manufacturing, we have just spiraled into a community where there is significant poverty.
If you're near Fayetteville, you can drop off your non-perishable food donation here at KUAF 9 South School in Fayetteville under the Giving Tree. KUAF Public Radio, local matters.
This is 91.3 KUAF, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kelms. With me is
Timothy Dennis.
Timothy, this is the Season of Giving fundraiser at KUAF.
Right.
And one of the things that's happening during Ozarks at Large, if you make a contribution during Ozarks at Large, during noon Ozarks at Large, you have two options. You can call 800-522-5823 or supportkuaf.com. During the evening editions of Ozarks at Large, the phone volunteers have gone home, but you can pledge during support at supportkuaf.com. Right. Everyone who contributes during a noon or 7 o'clock Ozarks at Large is automatically entered to win something.
They are automatically entered to win one of two box sets from the fine folks at AET, and they sent us these box sets of the soundtrack to the Ken Burns documentary Country Music. And I don't know if you watched the whole thing, but there is a wide variety of music featured in that documentary. It's all country music, but I mean, it's got everything from what? I'm guessing the Carter Family.
Well, the first song in the box set, if you start with disc one, is Can the Circle Be Unbroken by the Carter Family. And it kind of goes chronologically. 103 songs, 5 discs. Mm-hmm. It's claimed that every song that was featured at length, whatever that definition is, is included in this collection.
So is there Buck Owens on there?
I'm sure it is. I haven't done a full catalog.
I'm sure
here.
There's George Jones. I'm sure there's maybe even Garth Brooks on there.
And it's fitting that we're doing this during Ozarks at Large. So, again, anyone who has contributed this week during Ozarks at Large, if you called in during the noon at 800-522-5823, or if you were an evening Ozarks at Large listener and you went to supportkuf.com and your contribution has been registered during this show, you're automatically in. If you've already given, you couldn't get to it, or you just want to enter, go to member@kuaf.com and say in that email you want to be entered.
Right.
All right. I think it's fitting because Ozarks at Large, we cover a lot of things. One of the things we do is provide attention to music in our area.
Right. I mean, this year alone, we've recorded over 30 performances just for this show alone of different bands, whether it be country, blues, folk, world music, jazz. I mean, we've done a little bit of everything. But we did record a special panel discussion this fall regarding country music.
That's right. It was at the Fayetteville Roots Festival.
Right.
And it had some real heavyweights, including Rhiannon Giddens, who's featured in the first two episodes, you know, prominently talking about the origin of country music. We focus on music for a number of reasons. One, we want you to be exposed to some of the great musicians of all kinds that are playing throughout the Arkansas River Valley, Northwest Arkansas, and those that come to us through outfits like Fayetteville Roots Festival or House of Songs.
Right.
We want you to be exposed to that music.
Yeah, and there's a variety that comes through this area. I mean, we could list the genres, but I mean, we really are fortunate in that we have the facilities and the time to be able to feature some of this music that otherwise you might not be able to hear on the radio or elsewhere. Because, I mean, we do feature every Friday, and sometimes more than that during the week, we'll feature performances that we record of bands that we feel like people should be hearing, whether they've released anything or not yet.
That's right. And then we also feel that we want the bands to get exposure to you so you can find out, oh, that's a cool band that's going to be playing down on Emma Avenue in Springdale. That's a cool one that'll be at Meteor Gallery or at George's Majestic Lounge. So we want you to be exposed, but we also want you to know about the great musicians that are here as well. And as Timothy mentioned, we have the facilities, Furman Garner Performance Studio. We have the time in Ozarks at Large to allow people to come in, talk about why they've written the songs, then play the whole song.
And not only that, we have the signal that can bring that music to a wide audience. Because, I mean, we cover what? Is it? How many counties is it? I mean, it's more than a dozen.
I say it's about 20 counties that at least part of the county in three different states can get us. And then when you think about the old internet.
Right. I mean, it's anywhere.
That's right. Now, the reason we have the venue of Furman Garner Performance Studio, the reason we can have a show that allows musicians a chance to play the entire song, the reason that we have that signal, because of support of listeners in the past and the present.
Right. Those listeners' contributions have added up to allow us to stay with the times and to build the facilities to bring you the music that we know you should be listening to.
That's right. And we'll continue to do this. We'll continue to bring you this music with your continued support. At anytime during the Season of Giving fundraiser between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m., you can call us.
It's 800-522-5823.
Then at any time, anywhere, you can pledge online.
And that's at supportkuaf.com.
And now that we're talking about music, let me tell you about a premium that we have during the Season of Giving fundraiser that ties directly into the music that you hear on Ozarks at Large. It's a double CD with 23 of our favorite performances from this previous year. I woke up in a sweat the other night because I was thinking, but you know what? I don't want people who came in and performed who aren't on the CD to feel slighted.
Right.
We could only get 23 songs on.
Right. And I mean, because it takes time to produce it and to mix it down and to get everything packaged, we were only able to, we had to limit ourselves to the number of tracks we put on it. But I mean, these are some of our favorites from this year. But we've got a nice variety on there. We've got rock and roll, we've got folk, we've got country music, we've got world music, we've got a little bit of everything on there.
And it's yours if you make a contribution, a one-time contribution of $240 or more, or if you become a sustaining member at $20 a month. Then we'll send you this double CD, and this is the only place you can get it. Thank you so much to the musicians who said, yes, put us on there, we want to be included. Thanks for coming in and performing for us, for our radio audience. But you can get this CD, but this is the only way you can get it.
Right. And you can do that when you make a contribution of $240 or more, or a $20 sustaining contribution to this public radio station during our Season of Giving fundraiser.
And you can, again, if it's daytime hours, when we have phone volunteers in, that's from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-5823. After 7 p.m., when our phone volunteers have gone home, you can still make a contribution.
And you can do that at our safe and secure website. That's supportkuaf.com.
And if you love the music in this area, but you can't always get there, know that you can stay tuned to Ozarks at Large, and we will connect you with the musicians and the musicians with you. It's one of our many passions and missions here at Ozarks at Large. Again, the phone number
is 800-522-5823 if it's during daytime hours.
And at any time, from your computer or your smartphone, supportkuaf.com.
And thank you.
KUAF and Friends Holiday Giveaway is your chance to win a gift from one of many generous underwriters. Participants include Pack Rat Outdoor Center, Fayetteville Farmers Market, Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, and others. Winners announced December 13th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Register at KUAF.com. Eureka Springs hosts holiday merrymaking and fun starting December 14th with a Christmas market, Santa Claus, living windows, street theater, and shopping. Late night events include Night of a Thousand Santas pub crawl and scavenger hunt. EurekaSprings.org for more.
This is Ozarks at Large. Speaking of music, tomorrow night several musicians familiar to music lovers in Northwest Arkansas will be in the big room at George's Majestic Lounge on Dixon Street in Fayetteville for happy hour. The Jim Mills Band will be on stage from 6 to 8 p.m. The band's lineup is a bit different than Mills' previous group, Jim Mills and the Hellbenders. In a recent interview with Paul Kelso, the host of the Generic Blues show on KUAF, Jim Mills explained the change.
Well, the Hellbenders, we did an album in 2016, and we lost one of our members. Jack Martin passed away, and my longtime friend and mentor, Bob Myers, moved to Mexico. And who knows why, but he's got a beautiful place down there. Him and his wife are so happy down there, and we really miss him. But, you know, instead of it being the Hellbenders, I've decided I'm just going to call it the Jim Mills Band.
And, move on.
And see, you know, I'm working on, you know, something permanent at the moment. But there's so many great musicians in this town that it's pretty easy to put together a group of really good musicians.
The lineup for this incarnation includes some musicians that have been making people dance for a while around here. Steve Baskin on bass, Darren Novotny drums, J.T. Huff guitar, and a keyboardist, Keith Hubbard, who Jim Mills says is a recent acquaintance.
I played one gig with him, and I invited him to come on this. And he lives in Kentucky, but he's going to come over here and do this gig with us. And Hunter Judkins is going to play saxophone for us.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about it.
Jim Mills with the Jim Mills Band will play Happy Hour tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. at George's Majestic Lounge on Dixon Street in downtown Fayetteville. He talked with Paul Kelso about the show recently. Paul hosts the Generic Blues Show, heard every Friday night on KUAF 91.3.
For the Central Arkansas Library System and KUAR, I'm Mark Crist with an Encyclopedia of Arkansas Minute. Fred Marshall, born in Memphis and raised in Little Rock, was a talented musician, sculptor, inventor, and educator, but is best known for his work on a classic Christmas cartoon. Marshall, whose mother taught art at Arkansas Tech University, began playing piano at 5 and was playing bass and drums by the time he went to Little Rock Central High. As a teenager, he played at jazz clubs on 9th Street, remembering that he would hide behind his bass when police entered. Not only was I underage, I was a white man playing in a black club. Moving to San Francisco in the 1960s, he played with some of jazz's greatest musicians, including Little Rock's Pharoah Sanders. In 1962, he joined the Vince Guaraldi Trio, with whom he recorded several Latin jazz albums. But Marshall and the Guaraldi Trio are best known for the music they wrote and performed for 1965's A Charlie Brown Christmas, the soundtrack for which remains a classic holiday recording. Marshall died in 2001. To learn more, visit encyclopediaofarkansas.net.
This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Lincoln. 91.3 is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. Contributors to the show today included Antoinette Grajeda, Jacqueline Froelich, and Zuzanna Sitek. Zuzanna delivered news about the Fayetteville Farmers Market. Timothy Dennis mastered our show in the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio. Thanks to Timothy and Lee Wood, our general manager at KUAF, for coming by to help me explain some of the things we do during this season of Giving Fundraiser. The Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report with Paul Gatling is a production of our partnership between Ozarks at Large, KUAF, and Talk Business and Politics. Okay, Antoinette Grajeda also selects songs that we end many of our shows with, and she selected another one. This is the band Arkansas, friends of the show. The song is Christmas Time's A-Comin', a Christmas staple. It was performed on the Christmas show in 2018. We bring this up because Arkansas will be performing at Harry's Downtown in Fort Smith, New Year's Eve, December 31st. And before we hear that, let me tell you that this year's Christmas show that was recorded last week at the Fayetteville Public Library will be heard on Christmas Eve this year. Then Christmas Day, we'll hear the 2014 edition. So, to review, 2019 Christmas show, Christmas Eve this year. 2014 Christmas show from 5 years ago, Christmas Day. Now, from the 2018 Christmas show, I got confused myself there. Here's Arkansas's Christmas Time's A-Comin'. Thanks so much for listening. We're back tomorrow.
Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home is calling, pine trees are humming, and Christmas time's coming. Did you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming. Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my